Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam. You are listening to the Asma'un Nabi program with myself, Muhammad Pam, and online I have is Mawlana Muhammad Ali from Middleburg. Mawlana, Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mawlana, how are you this morning?
Alhamdulillah, wa siyatu a'ad, very well, mashallah.
You see that winter is leaving us and we are coming closer to summer.
Yes, but winter before it leaves us, it gives us a few farewell, you know, knocks. And we can expect another one or two cold fronts.
It must. Well, we're ready to start.
We're ready, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa. والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وجعلناهم أئمة يهدون بأمرنا صدق الله العظيم. All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the choicest blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon His most beloved Nabi, our leader, Hazrat Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thank and praise Allah Ta'ala for the numerous bounties and blessings He has bestowed upon us in the different forms. And we ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to continue showering His blessings upon us, giving us the consciousness of His blessings, enabling us to acknowledge and to express gratitude for it and to increase us. And likewise, we ask Allah not to deny and deprive us of any of His precious bounties on account of our own weaknesses, on account of our own shortcomings, and on account of our own disobedience to Him and our ungratefulness. May Allah Ta'ala save us. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah Ta'ala for having granted us the ummah, to be in the ummah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is from among the most great favors to be blessed with iman and then to be in this august and prestigious ummah, Ummati Muhammadi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We always need to take cognizance of the fact that we are ambassadors of the ummah. Not only are we members of it, but we are ambassadors of it, meaning which that at every juncture we should be acting and propagating the beautiful uswa of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that those who don't know about it are attracted to it by our actions. Because this is the ummah of da'wah. And being the ummah of da'wah, we have to continuously give da'wah in every way possible. Alhamdulillah, we are discussing the beautiful names of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beautiful names as a result of his beautiful ways and sunnah, his beautiful uswa. So every name is in fact a manifestation and a great lesson of his lifestyle. And from there we draw great amount of lessons. The name that we are discussing at this point in time is Al-Imam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam undoubtedly is our Imam. He is our leader whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent down for the entire mankind till the day of Qiyamah. So there is no other Imam. He is the Imam. And his way of life is the only way of life. He being the Imam, the real Imam, has left with us and left for us such ways to follow that will be successful, which will earn us good fortune in this world and in the hereafter. No way of any other Imam is ever going to work out if it is not in conformity to the ways of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Having said that, we discussed the various capacities Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam served as an imam. And presently we are discussing him as an imam, as the imam who is the ruler. Not only the imam who is on the musallah, but here the imam who is the statesman. And the miraculous nature of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's statesmanship and his rulership is undoubtedly a lesson for all the leaders of the world to follow. It is indeed amazing to see how Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took on the cudgels of leadership in such an environment and among such people who were very rebellious by nature, who were opposed all the time to leadership, and who were smitten with their own greed and their own egos at any given time, who were leading a life of war and anarchy between themselves. Here we find Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes to Medina Munawwara, and we have already discussed that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was such a leader that even before coming to Medina Munawwara, his leadership qualities and his statesmanship skills were recognized by the disbelievers, by the mushrikeen, and by his opponents generally. When they saw how he approached them, like last week we spoke about certain leaders who approached him, Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, for example, approached Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on behalf of the leaders of Makkah. When he left from there, he just realized that this man has definitely got great leadership qualities. And he advised his people, he said, don't interfere with him, because this man is going to really go to great heights. And if you are Arab, then if you are going to be under him, you are going to benefit. So what we are saying is that he had these qualities even before coming to Medina Munawwara, and all his other qualities as attested and affirmed by the various kuffar leaders and opponents. Now we are going to look at the coming of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Medina Munawwara, and how beautifully he displayed leadership qualities, and how he brought together the people of Medina, how he faced the various challenges of uniting the entire community of Medina, and how he formed the bases in Medina Munawwara, which then served as the first capital of Islam, the first foundation upon which the rest of Islam was now going to spread and flourish, and still flourishing and will flourish till the day of Qiyamah. So we find that it is indeed mind-boggling, especially when we look at the leaders of today, just as a quick point of comparison. The leaders of today, for example, they take over leadership. So maybe by virtue of being voted into power, or sometimes by a coup d'etat or whatever it is, then they start ruling on an existing model of leadership. Whatever their political system might be, they rule upon that. So they already have something to go by. And they are ruling amongst people who know them and who they know. They are ruling with certain amount of what we can call experience. They are ruling amongst their own, so to say. But with all of that, we find the amount of mess they do sometimes, that when the person takes over, he only messes things up further. We don't have to look far to see how leadership has been taken over by one group, and how after having taken over, the poor leadership has caused the collapse of infrastructure in various aspects of the state, wherever we see in the world, in our own country, anywhere else also, where we find the amount of corruption that is taking place, where we find the amount of nepotism, where we find the amount of greed, that the leaders are failing in providing leadership, but they themselves are not even capable of leading themselves. So what we are saying is that you look at the present leadership models that are found everywhere, and the leaders that have been put into place, and compare them now to what we're going to say regarding Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he comes to Medina Munawwara in a totally foreign country. It's a foreign land. People of Medina didn't know him, except for who? Those who came to Makkah Mukarramah, those who pledged allegiance at Aqaba, that was about it. Others had heard about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that the message of Islam started spreading. But now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes into Medina. And we must remember that Medina Munawwara was not free of its own set of political upheavals and its own political challenges. We had the Jews there, for example, who were the economic tyrants, if you want to call them, who were lending money and who were involved in the economy of Medina by living off and by charging exorbitant interest and riba. And the rest of the people of Medina, the Ansar, if you want to call them, the Aus and the Khazraj, were at the mercy of these interest-consuming economic tyrants who made great amount of zulm on them. Then amongst the Aus and the Khazraj, they also had their own tribal differences and their own frictions, which were just not getting sorted out. In fact, if we read history, we find that when the first group came to Aqaba, and when they accepted and said labbaik on the da'wah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they said, just hang on, we need to just sort out a few of our differences. We've got some differences back at home with our, between our tribes. They were referring to this, that they had their differences. And then next year we'll talk about coming back. And thereafter we find they went back and they tried to sort out their own differences. But we must remember, while differences were sorted out, there definitely were underlying or undercurrents in terms of rivalry and in terms of hidden opposition to each other. So those things were not wiped out. And after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, then he had to attend to that also. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with his own group of people, that is the Muhajirin. And we know in this day and age it is very clear for us to see when a great influx of outsiders come into our country or into our areas, we feel intimidated. And we find that sometimes, and we are seeing it on a regular basis, how much of hatred and how much of resistance there is to their arrival in our areas. We see it. We know we have learned the word xenophobia. And at this point in time, as we speak, we are seeing the great exodus of refugees that are traveling from different parts of the world into Eastern Europe, for example. And they are going from Libya, and they are going from Africa, and they are going from Syria, and from Bangladesh, and from Myanmar, and wherever they are risking their lives, going by ship and by road, and whichever way they are going, and they are coming there. And how they are being received, they are now being perceived as a major, major problem, as a catastrophe. And already last week we heard that in Germany, for example, there was an attack on a refugee center. And all these things, now you come to another country and how you are going to be received. So that in itself is a challenge. So we find Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam managed that also so beautifully. So he had to actually take care of all these issues with expert, masterful leadership qualities. And subhanAllah, we will refer to a few of them now, inshallah, point by point. Within 5 or 6 years, the preparations are starting to go back to Medina, to Makkah Mukarramah. And you find Makkah is conquered. In other words, with all your challenges here in Medina Munawwara, we have just taken over leadership here. You just have consolidated. And now you still have to go back and sort out the old matter that had brought you here in the first place. And we find that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went, and again, his leadership qualities are displayed in as to how Makkah was conquered. And besides these leadership qualities, we're still going to talk about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a military leader. The amount of strategy and how he went about conducting warfare whenever the need arose, when there were attacks and when there were threats against the Muslimin, how masterfully he managed his forces, and alhamdulillah, how military victories had come his way. So, these are things we reflect upon, these are the things we marvel upon, that is the leadership skills of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So while he was in Medina Munawwara, it wasn't like everything was fine, you must remember. There were a lot of challenges, and there were people on the outside making efforts to try and destroy the Muslim foundation in Medina Munawwara. What was Battle of Badr? What was Battle of Uhud? What was the Battle of the Trench? But with consolidating and sorting out the matters in Medina itself, we find that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam single-handedly kept all those enemies at bay, and alhamdulillah, in places he also vanquished them. And within a short period, 10 years, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became the undisputed leader and ruler of the Arabian Peninsula. Now, can any other person bring about such a leader with so many merits and with so many victories and accolades to his leadership and to his ruling as such? No, nobody. They can say that, you know, we had a statesman who was sitting in jail for 27 years, and then he was a very good man, and he came out, and after 5 years, he gave up his position of leadership. MashaAllah, he did a very good thing. But what did he do in the 5 years? And what did he do? How has it improved the lot of the country? And so forth. So if we have to sit and look at any leader who in a short period of time met with all these challenges, sorted them out, and took his people forward, it is only Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But that had its own difficulties. While it helped in some cases, when there was an issue with another tribe, and that tribe was not connected to a tribe that was had a political allegiance with these tribes, then this could have led to a great amount of chaos and warring and fights between these tribes. So what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did was, he says, now we as Muslimin have come here, and we are going to be in the middle of all these difficulties, so let us enter into peace treaties with all these tribes. So he went into peace treaties with all these tribes, including the Jews, who regarded themselves as the dons of Medina. You know, when you are holding the purse strings, and when you are the economic powerhouse, as you regard yourself, then you are the boss. That's what you think you are. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very smartly, I went into peace treaties with them also. And he knew for the fact that these people here, by their very nature, sooner or later, are going to start plotting and campaigning against the Muslimin with the intention of bringing them down. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that already. So what he did was, he entered into peace treaties with each one of them, that we are now living in Madinah Munawwara. We are one community. So we will assist each other. We will not invite enemies against each other. And if anybody tries and attacks each other, we will defend each other. All these treaties were signed up with these people. And he saw, so he closed all the doors of danger in this way. And then also we must remember that the other tribes, the very strong, powerful tribes out of Medina, the tribes of Ghatfan, they were a powerful tribe. The tribes of Hawazin, they were a powerful tribe. They were watching like with hawk eyes as to how and how quick they can enter into Medina and put an end to this particular Muslimin that are now strengthening themselves. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was aware of them. So what he did was very beautifully, as the Jews started their tricks, we know there were the three tribes that were in Medina Munawwara, the Banu Nadir, the Banu Qurayza, and the Banu Qaynuqa. And one after another they started plotting. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so masterfully worked them out. He first separated one from the other so that they could not unite against the Muslimin. And this was not by any evil design, na'udhu billah. This was by their own doing. One after another they caused it for themselves, and then mashallah, Allah Ta'ala opened the way and they were worked out from there. So they were kept apart, they were not in any way able to harm the Muslim cause. And one by one, he ended their political ambitions and their economic might, and we didn't need them any longer. Then we find that, subhanAllah, the masterful stroke on the occasion of Hudaybiyah. Hudaybiyah was supposed to have been a very, very big humiliating blow to the Muslimin. Hudaybiyah was supposed to be, you know, an honor for the kuffar of Makkah, that the Muslims came here for Umrah, and we for once and for all shut them out. We did not let them enter. And so therefore, they were prepared to engage into war with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslimin. But what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used that same ploy in their own scheme, where they drew up a very unfair treaty against the Muslimin. We know the clauses of it have been repeated in the past. He used that for the betterment of Muslim ties. And he used that for the opening up of doors and opportunities. And this is only a real leader can recognize. He opened up opportunities whereby the Muslimin could now safely penetrate the various other tribes and go and come into Mecca and to Medina in a manner where Islam can be clearly seen by everybody, da'wah can be given, and this, mashallah, we know led to the conquest of Mecca 2 years later, subhanallah. This was one of the masterful political strokes that was dealt by Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was another thing. Then we know that while the Jews of Medina were now taken away from here, they were, mashallah, moved out. So they were no longer posing an economic threat with their interest rulings. They also no longer posed a political threat where they could somehow, you know, undermine the Muslimin. Because apart from them doing the internal harassment, trying to trouble the Muslimin, it is documented that on the occasion of Uhud and even the Battle of the Trench, they had connived and they had provided assistance and intelligence to the kuffar that came from out of Mecca, out of Medina, to come and attack the Muslimin of Medina Munawwara. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that though they have been moved from here, some had gone and relocated in Sham, who? The Yahudis. Some had gone into Khaybar. And mashallah, we find again the political skill of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he got intelligence to state that the Jews of Khaybar are planning and already in a state of advanced preparation to attack the Muslimin of Medina. So he did not wait for them. And we find that not only the people of Khaybar, nearby Khaybar was a powerful tribe of Ghatfan, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew about them also. So he very, very promptly and very skillfully prepared an army of 1600 people and made a surprise move on the people of Khaybar, and that particular threat was also removed. Inshallah, if we come to that point where we look at certain military moves and maneuvers of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a military leader, we'll bring those things there when we come to it. So it was a very beautiful way. Then obviously Tabuk. Tabuk was also another expedition. In Tabuk, those of us know who have read history, no fighting took place in Tabuk as such. But what was Tabuk? Tabuk was then a military expedition. It was a political expedition. It was not so much of a military. While the Muslims went with the intention of having a military confrontation with the Byzantines, with the Christians, with the Romans that were planning to come on this side, nothing happened. But at the same time, we find that the move of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a ruler to go there and show his readiness to confront them, it had such a powerful impact and it had such positive effects for the Muslimin at large that this was the beginning of the end of the Byzantine and the Roman influence and the Roman threat on the Muslim borders. There is tribe ethics thereafter also, but alhamdulillah, Tabuk was one beautiful example of how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went and he kind of put them in their place. So we looked at a number of things today as the leadership qualities of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his leadership skills as well as his leadership practices in consolidating Medina Munawwara into one strong, united community. How he brought about economic justice by getting rid of the riba element which was being practiced by the Yahudis. How in a little while the Yahudi element was moved away. How in a short while Medina was so strong that tribes that were around there had pledged an allegiance with the Muslimin, though they were not Muslims, many of them, they pledged an allegiance that we will support the Muslimin. So that also gave them strength. And then how the external forces of the Yahudi, of Khaybar, and the Romans at Tabuk were also all kept at bay, all by the masterful and the skillful leadership qualities of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, الإمام صلى الله عليه وسلم وما علينا إلا البلاغ والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته جزاك الله مولانا for that inspiring program. Do join us next week at the same time with the أسماء النبي program with مولانا محمد علي. From myself محمد بام. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.